tell us about why, especially in 2023, where people are like, oh, that's woke, why we still need diversity and inclusion.
Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. Today, we have Toby
Milton, yeah,
here with us today, and he's such a great guy. I can tell already. Toby, tell us about yourself.
Hi, Devin. Thanks for inviting me along. So I live over in the UK, and I live in Manchester, which is in the north. And I've got a disability, which is called spinal muscular atrophy, which I was born with. It's a genetic neuromuscular disability. I run my own diversity and inclusion consultancy. And then before that, I worked for companies like the BBC, Deloitte, and Accenture, and British Airways.
So tell us about how you got into the diversity and inclusion space.
It happened by accident. I used to work in technology. So I was a project manager at the BBC, and I was working on projects like the development of the news website and the development of the radio app and things like that. And anyway, to cut a long story short, I used to work really closely with the management team, and they were worried about the gender imbalance that we were seeing in tech. So only 14% of our workforce were women, whereas the rest of the BBC was a 50-50 gender split. They devised a plan to get more women into technology, and they needed a project manager to run the plan. So I volunteered to do it. And then it very quickly turned into a full-time job.
I was immediately, when you sent me the email, I immediately was like, yes. Tell us about why, especially in 2023, where people are like, oh, that's woke, why we still need diversity and inclusion. And do you use the term woke in Britain, or is it called something else?
No, we do. Yeah, we use it. We use it over here as well. Going back to basics, there are just so many benefits to having a diverse workforce. Organizations perform better financially. Teams are better at making decisions. Organizations or teams are better at innovating and creativity and problem solving. You're better at anticipating and empathizing with your customer needs. So there are so many benefits to having a diverse workforce. However, unfortunately, we live in a world where there are so many inequalities that make it hard for organizations to have a diverse workforce. So my job is to try and reduce these inequalities, create more fairness in the world of work, and create more inclusive work team cultures so that everyone can do their best work and thrive.
Give us an example of one of those inequalities.
For example, over in the UK, employers that employ more than 250 people have to calculate the gender pay gap. And there is a gender pay gap between men and women. That's largely down to the fact that in a lot of organizations, we don't see many women at the most senior positions, earning the higher salaries, taking home the bigger bonuses. And therefore, that is contributing to the gender pay gap. Another factor that contributes to the gender pay gap is men not really getting involved in childcare responsibilities, and still the burden of looking after the home, looking after children, still falls to women in many households. And again, that's creating that inequality. So that's just talking about gender equality. In the UK, there's an underemployment of disabled people, for example. There's loads of disabled people who want to get into employment, but they're struggling to get jobs because of the bias that exists from employers.
Yes, I've seen it here, and I've experienced it in my own life. I've had people, we were at a mall one time, and you know how those, I don't know if your malls are like our malls, but you know how there are those little kiosks like in the like food court or whatever it is?
Yeah.
this lady was behind the kiosk, and my aide and I were over there trying some samples, or at least my aide was. I didn't want any, but my aide was, and I was over there with her. And she leans over and I guess whispers to her, because I didn't even hear it. She had to tell me after we walked away. Does she know her name? They basically think I have a mental disability because I have a physical disability. And I have a friend who, I'm not going to say his name, but he has CP as well. And he has a severe speech impediment, but he's a math genius. Teachers in high school said he was 2 grade levels ahead in math. He just couldn't handle the honors math because of the pace and because of his fine motor skills. And because of his speech impediment, he's going to have so much trouble getting a job. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like you say, your friend has got a great mind for maths, and there's no reason why he couldn't work in the field of mathematics and science. We need great minds.
We do. And he's one, he can do literal, like almost calculus in his head. And I'm like, you're not going to hire him because of a speech impediment? What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. What are some other things that people with disabilities face when they go for employment? As if I don't know, but tell the audience.
I think probably the biggest thing that we come across is employers have got a lot of fear about talking to disabled people. They don't want to say something that causes offense or causes embarrassment to some.
We are like the hardest group of people to offend. Oh my goodness. I've got the thinnest skin of people with disabilities that I know, and I've got pretty thick skin. You should hear, I went to a conference one time and the host of it was like D something closer to my parents' age than my age. And oh, you should have heard him talk. He's not in a creepy way, but I was like made uncomfortable. I'm like, should I be in the room right now? Yeah, we are the hardest group of people to offend. You should hear us talk to each other.
And that's the thing, disabled people are very resilient because we've learned to have to deal with a lot of trouble. And we have to get very creative about how we do things. So we like to plan. We're very organized. Most of us.
I think I'm the exception to the organized world. But
as I was saying that, I was thinking, actually, I do know some disabled friends and family of mine who are far from organized. But generally speaking, we're very resilient people because we've had to deal with a lot of crap.
Yeah, I love hearing you say crap.
Did I say it in a very British way?
Yeah. Tell us, is it getting better over in the UK? Is it getting worse? And how does the UK compare to the US? And which country do you think is better as far as disability services and all that?
Things are not great in the UK at the moment, politically.
Great over here either.
I know, there's a lot of similarities. The current government have got a track record of completely supporting disabled people. Basically through lots of cost cutting.
And dreaded having, cost cutting.
And trying to basically, the British government has been accused of infringing human rights by the United Nations. That's not a great thing to have a record of. And I think our current government are doing a very good job of creating divisions in society. So they're spouting very homophobic things. They're not very positive towards immigration and asylum seekers. And I fear that disabled people are another community that the government is just going to pick on.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to their political opinion. This is not a political podcast, but there have been some really hateful things spewed, like so hateful. I'm like, that just came out of a government official's mouth. Okay, didn't give me much hope, but
yeah. And I think, but having said that, I do feel very lucky living in the UK. So one thing, for example, we have free healthcare. When I compare my experience of healthcare compared to people who've got SMA living in America, it's completely different. Our health service has saved my life on more than one occasion, and it hasn't cost me a penny. And I'm incredibly lucky that I live in a country with that health system in place.
Yeah, my healthcare is like so good compared to most people in the US because we have, my mom has really good insurance through her work and I'm on her insurance. So therefore I have really good insurance.
Yeah.
Thank God. But I definitely feel for the people who can't get the best treatment or the best modifications to their house or anything because of financial reasons. That's heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with like house modifications over there?
So I had to do some recently because I moved from London to Manchester. I put in a ceiling hoist to get me in and out of bed. I converted the bathroom into a wet room. And the thing
we're
is,
looking
okay,
at a ceiling lift right now. And because of the way our system works, we have to go through Medicaid because the waiver I'm on, you can either choose to go through a Medicaid occupational therapist or choose your own. But we have nobody around here that does ceiling lift evals. So we had to go through Medicaid and it's taken us like a year and a half. Like it's crazy.
Really?
Just to get to step two, it's crazy.
Yeah, we have, I think similarly in the UK, if you need modifications, you tend to go through an occupational therapist in your local council, and that can be quite a slow process. But the thing is, I paid for my equipment privately because I didn't want my flat looking like a nursing home.
Yeah.
Frankly, which is what you would get through from the local authority. And I'm in a very kind of lucky position that I run my own business. I've got a good income and therefore I could pay for these things privately.
This might be a little too in the weeds for the average listeners, but what kind of lift is your lift?
It's called a Guldman, Guldman, which is really good. It looks nice. It doesn't look clinical. And I had the system in London. I had the same system in London. Because it's an overhead ceiling hoist that could be mounted to the wall if you can't drill into the ceiling. And when I lived in London, I lived in an apartment and we couldn't drill into the ceiling. So it was quite a good option for me.
So is it one you can do yourself or does your partner have to help you?
Yeah, so I've actually got I have 24-hour care. So I employ three assistants and they're the ones that help me.
How do you find assistants over in the UK? Because my dad is my primary caregiver. He quit work, bless his soul, when I graduated high school, just in case like we didn't have an aide or like an aide called up sick one day, he could be like a backup caregiver. But I would like to have my own assistants because I want my own space and he wants his own space, but it's impossible to find. So how do you find assistants over in the UK? Maybe it can transfer to the US somehow.
Yeah. So we, in the UK, we get government funding and then we can use that funding to employ people directly. And
okay. Is the pay very good? Because we get paid for if we choose our own aides too, but it's crap. It's barely minimum wage. And most fast food restaurants are like 15. I'm like, and you wonder why nobody stays. Yeah.
It's paid at what we call the living wage. So it's not very much. And I think I've been incredibly lucky because I get funding from two places. Because of my healthcare needs, I get joint funding from the health service and the local authority. And so I've got a good care package. I recruit people. Where have I recruited? I don't know if I guess you've got this in America, but like Indeed.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've used that, which is quite good.
I've got to put someone on Indeed, too. I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, Indeed. Gumtree has been quite good in the past.
I don't think we have Gumtree here. I've never heard of Gumtree. I'll look it up.
I think you must have it in America. It's quite popular. But yeah, Gumtree, Indeed. We've got a couple of websites in the UK that are dedicated towards hiring assistants. So there's one called PA Pool. And I found people through that website.
Okay, I'm going to look up Gumtree. Oh, We do have. It says only in you, though.
Okay. Maybe it's, yeah, maybe it's a UK thing, yeah.
Oh, wow. But we need to get that over here in America, too.
Yeah, there might be similar ones over in America.
Switching gears, what organizations have you worked with in your consulting business?
Oh, we've worked with so many. I actually counted them yesterday. And we've worked with 80 businesses in the last 4 years. Most of our clients are quite large. They employ quite a lot of people. We've worked with some famous companies like Amazon, Dr. Martens.
Dr. Martens or shoes?
Yeah, the shoes. Yeah. And then we've worked with lots of companies that nobody's really ever heard of. And yeah, we work with clients across all sectors. We've worked in financial services. We've worked with retail. We've worked with healthcare. We've worked with government, charities, tech companies. Yeah, loads.
What do you tell an organization when you go in about why they should be doing this?
All of the services that we do are very bespoke and tailored to our clients. So usually they approach us with a need or a problem. And then we help them figure out how to fix that problem. For example, one of our clients came to us and they said, we know that diversity and inclusion is important. This is like the head of HR who contacted me. She said, I know it's important. Like, I don't need convincing that it's important or that we shouldn't be doing it. The rest of the senior leadership team need to be on the same page as me. They need to understand why it's important and they need to understand how they can drive positive change in the business. And they can create a really nice, supportive culture for everybody in the company. So I was like, okay, so that's the brief. And so we ended up creating a 12-month program where we worked with the senior leadership team and we were supporting them over a number of months.
That is so cool. Good for that senior, good for that HR director. Come and convince the rest of these people. What's your favorite story from doing this? Do you have a story of, oh, that's why I do this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's always nice hearing like individuals and how we make an impact on individuals. So when I was working for Deloitte, the accountancy firm, one of my jobs was to oversee our return to work program. So this was basically like a program for anybody who'd been out of work for two or more years, usually to start a family, that wanted to get back into professional services and accountancy. And it was always nice hearing people say, oh, if it wasn't for this program, I wouldn't be working or I wouldn't be able to get back into the accountancy profession. And then the impact that has on their lives as well and their own livelihoods and their own ability to provide for their family and enjoy their work and have a sense of purpose through the work that they do.
So that's really cool. So is there anything else that you would want to add before we get off here? I have one last like fun question, but is there anything you want to add first?
No, it's just been really great to catch up with you and exchange experiences across the ocean.
We will speak again because you are amazing. And fun question, do you have, what is your favorite like British TV show? Because I have, so what is like the British TV show that I have to watch?
It's funny you say that because my favorite TV program of all time is actually American. I just love Frasier.
Oh my gosh.
The sitcom. I would say a really great British, there's now an American version of this actually, but it's going back to the 90s now, but I would say Queer as Folk.
Yes, is good. I've heard of that. There's an American version. I haven't seen it though. I will watch it.
So the American version I think is this year, but the English version was like, I think they filmed it in the, so yeah, Queer as Folk, and the same director also made another one called It's a Sin, which was filmed a couple of years ago.
I will watch that. Queer as Folk is like a drama, right?
It is, yeah. It's a drama, yeah.
Okay, I will watch that. Where can people follow you on social media?
The best place to go is LinkedIn. Just connect with me on LinkedIn, drop me a message, or people can go to my website, which is milden.co.uk.
Okay, and we'll put all those links in the show notes too. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. Please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.